Today on Older and Wiser.
Smart guns, they only work in the hands of the owner. A good idea? Most Americans now say yes.
How many immigrants are really in the U.S.? Well, a new survey shows we've been guessing all wrong.
What bugs you most about dining out? A new poll by the L.A. Times reveals our top four complaints.
I'm Bob Bates, along with Susan Sikora, and this is Older and Wiser. You've heard of smart guns, right? You have to use your fingerprint to gain access to the gun. It won't fire unless...
It reads your fingerprint.
It reads your fingerprint.
Okay.
These guns, for some unknown reason, are not available in the U.S. The gun lobby doesn't like them. But it does seem like kind of a logical idea, don't you think, Susan?
I think it makes sense. I think it makes more sense than probably arguing about whether or not we're going to be able to carry guns, because that's going to go on and on forever around the Constitution. We're never going to agree on that. So maybe this is a good, at least a good compromise.
It seems
it makes sense. At least the part I like about this is that kids wouldn't be able to fire it.
Kids, exactly. Mm-hmm. 3 years ago, the gun lobby apparently did a survey, and only 14% of those surveyed said they would be willing to consider purchasing a smart gun rather than a conventional gun.
I don't know what the objection would be, unless they figure that they're going to be accosted by somebody, be disabled, and their spouse or somebody is going to walk in and be able to grab the gun and shoot whoever's attacking them.
Yeah. A new survey by Johns Hopkins University, however, shows that at this point, 59% said they would be willing to consider a smart gun if they were to be buying a new weapon.
Yeah. So I really want to know that it worked. I mean,
but,
I guess
but
that's
the tide seems to be turning, don't you think? I mean, if the gun lobby says 14% 3 years ago said they wouldn't have anything to do with it, now 59% of the survey participants are saying, okay, yeah, maybe this is kind of a good idea. Mm-hmm. Something's changed in the last 3 years. One of the things I don't understand about smart guns, I'd like a little more information, is what do you have to do? When you pull the gun out from under the bed and you hear an intruder in your house, do you have to type in a passcode? Does it read your thumbprint immediately?
I would think reading the thumbprint would be the only... I don't know what would happen, but yeah. I would think that would be my preference.
And
in
what
other
if your
words,
hand is sweaty or it doesn't read
in the
right
of
away?
My sleep,
well, yeah.
Forget it.
I would be concerned a little bit about the technology and how well it really works, because I have fingerprint technology on my on my cell phone, where you rub your finger across the pad and it reads your fingerprint and it opens the phone. Well, I find that I often have to do it a couple of times for it to read, and sometimes it reads it correctly and sometimes it doesn't. You can't have that kind of error when you are in a life-threatening situation. You've got
no. That's true. You know, but you know what, though, Bob? I think when it reads the fingerprint like yours does, maybe that technology is still a little new. Sometimes these things roll out before they're ready for primetime viewing and use. You know,
and that may have been the major concern of these survey participants in 2013. Saying, you know, first of all, I don't think this technology is going to work. You know, I'm not sure it's going to identify me as the real gun owner and allow me to kill the intruder who's coming in my house. So they may be...
I'd want to be 1,000% sure that it could read my fingerprint, and that would be, you know, the case.
But these guns are available in other countries. Barack Obama has issued a directive for federal authorities to speed availability of this gun safety technology. And so at least the movement is there. It's kind of like Google cars, you know, self-driving cars.
I don't like those.
When they first came out, the idea was this ain't going to work. You know, we're going to run into each other here and we're going to run over little children in baby strollers. But more and more we're beginning to realize the technology is advancing, and this may well be our future. Could be the same thing for guns. Interesting survey, nonetheless.
I hear you.
Okay, moving on to an item in The Guardian. The headline is What Americans Get Wrong, Survey Reveals Biggest Misconceptions.
Okay, now see, I am sitting here, and I'm looking at this also, and I'm thinking the first thing already, I don't even believe it, and I'm looking at it in black and white, because it says Americans think the wealthiest 1% of people in the country own 57% of all wealth. I thought it was up in the 90s.
Oh, you thought 1% of America's wealthiest own 90% of the country.
I've been listening to a lot of political talk.
Wow. See, you've been listening to too much Fox News or something like that.
No, not Fox News. No. I've been listening to Bernie Sanders. I don't think he says 57% of the wealth. I think he says a lot higher.
So what is the actual number? It does say that that's what people think. Americans think the wealthiest 1% of people in the country own 57%. This is
and they're saying that's 20% higher, that it would be 37% then, right?
Yeah. So 37%.
I don't know. My jury's out on that. Go ahead.
Okay, so when asked out of every 100 people in America, how many do you think do not affiliate themselves with any religion? The average response was 40. So people believe that 40% of Americans do not affiliate themselves with any religion. But that's wrong.
Is that right? I'm looking at the same.
Yeah, the truth is 23% of Americans don't affiliate themselves with any
religion. But see, here's the thing. This is what I'm thinking to myself, okay, what about people who say, does this count the numbers of people who say, well, I don't go to church, but I'm spiritual?
Yeah. I mean, I guess if you're talking about belief in God, that's one thing, and going to church is something else. I suppose you could believe in God and not be affiliated with a religion, right?
Right. Or you could be Catholic and not go to Mass on Sunday.
So it might be a bit of a jump to say that 23% of Americans are atheist. That could be kind of wrong, possibly.
Well, that could just be that they're not a particular religion. They could believe, you know, in a higher power or a deity or a god or whomever, but they may not be a member of the Baptist
particular
church
religion,
or the Jewish faith or what have you.
Nonetheless, what the survey really reveals is that most Americans believe that there are lots more godless atheists out there than there are, in fact, out there.
So maybe that comes from a lot of people thinking they themselves are holier than thou.
Now, on the subject of immigration, most of Americans believe that 33% of the U.S. population was born somewhere else other than the United States. So we, in this country right now, we have 33% of first-generation immigrants. What do you think? Do you think that's even reasonable?
I know it's lower than that because I've heard this brought up in conversations lately because we're in a, you know, presidential campaign year and this conversation has come up here, there, and around.
Well, the true number, of course, is 14% of Americans.
Yeah,
actually
it's lower.
Immigrants.
And, of course, when you hear people who say, well, I don't like that immigrants are getting this. I mean, I had this conversation with so many people, but
They think
that no matter what's going on, no matter what they're not getting, they scapegoat the immigrants.
Right.
That's the first one they scapegoat.
Does
and
this
so they
explain
think it's a lot more.
Something, though, the fact that the survey shows that people believe that there are way more immigrants in America than there really are?
I mean,
is this explain why we're so afraid, why we want to build a wall?
I think that's part of it. I think 9/11 has changed it probably.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I think there are less people than most people think. But I think when you get angry about something, everywhere you turn, you see that problem.
Well, I think it's a pretty interesting survey. The fact that we have an idea about something that we think is correct. And then when we really check the facts, we determine that, no, we're completely wrong. All right, let's move on to our next topic. We're talking about driving. I bet you're kind of a courteous driver, aren't you, Susan?
I am.
I bet you are. You're generous.
I am. Not only
you're generous and you're thoughtful on the road, aren't you?
Not only that, but I have an idea. A little. Here's my next little movement, my mini movement. I think we need a universal sign for thank you.
Which does not involve the middle finger. It's like a thumb and an index finger or something, and you wiggle it.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm serious because a lot of times I'll put my hand up like I'm waving, and I'm thinking, I hope they think that's a wave and not a stop talking to me. I'm driving.
No, I think the wave is kind of a universal term for thank you or sorry about that. I do that a lot. Sorry about that. You know, when I kind of accidentally cut somebody off here in LA. You know, we don't want to cut somebody off without saying sorry about that because they might pull out their gun without the fingerprint identification attached to it, and they might just shoot us. We have freeway shootings here.
Yeah. You know, they're making $41,000 and it feels like $26,000.
So the question here is, would you refuse to let a car cut in front of you because of its make.
No, no. And that, I mean, I
you don't look at the kind of car it is first
in with a Mercedes and think, who do they think they are? Just because they can afford that car, they own the road. But I wouldn't let I wouldn't take it out on them in traffic.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you. I think that I don't look at the brand of the car that's trying to cut in front of me before I make the decision. It's more about the way the driver's driving, I think.
It's the behavior of the driver. It's not the brand of the car. I mean,
27% of drivers in a new survey say they would purposefully not let a car go ahead of them because of the vehicle's brand.
These are people who need a hobby.
They don't like BMWs, for example. They also don't like, men are least likely to let a Subaru in. Imagine that. Like, who cares
about a
Subaru?
I don't even know what this has got to do with the price of tea in China. I don't understand this at all. Listen, unless it's resentment in that
resentment.
You're in a grubby car and an old one, and they're in a nice car, and now they've got bad behavior on top of the money you don't have.
I guess people also resent Land Rovers.
They understand, what?
Or Land Rovers. They don't want Land Rovers to cut in front of them, nor do they like Mercedes to cut in front of them or Audis. So if you drive a Land Rover, a Mercedes, an Audi, or Subaru, you may have a little trouble cutting into traffic. That's what
I mean, why are you cutting in? I mean, if you're, you know, sometimes
well,
people are cutting
to cut in
because they're in a hurry and there is an emergency.
No.
But and I like to think, give people the benefit of the
I
doubt.
I think this is an overall thing. You could be at a stop. Let's say you're pulling out of a gas station and there's traffic and you kind of have to, somebody's got to kind of let you into traffic or something. Mm-hmm. I think it's all of that. It's where you need to wave and say, can I get in? The apparently a more modest car is more likely to get you into traffic than one of these high-end fancy vehicles.
Yeah, but this is another survey that leaves out another interesting thing that I would say. Here's what's wrong with this survey. Again, too broad. Which is when people come to like a four-way stop, there's two stop signs, there's four stop signs.
Right.
I think in most cases when somebody goes out of turn, it's because they don't know who goes next. I don't think they know. Do we go according to who got here first? Is it whoever's on the right? They just don't know. I mean, I've done it myself. I lost track. I'm thinking it should be whoever gets here first, maybe. No?
That is technically what it is. Where it turns into the clockwise rule is when you've got lines of traffic at each stop and you're supposed to go around in a clockwise rotation that way. But I think
I'm going to bet you that if you walked out on the street today, took a walk around your block and stopped five people and asked them if they know that rule or if they could they wouldn't.
Yeah. In fact, most of us probably couldn't even pass the driver's test if we had to take it today. Speaking of which, it says here in this survey as well that people don't like to let in driver's ed cars. You know, I do, though. When it comes to kids learning to drive and you see it says student driver on the car, I let them go in. I let them go anywhere.
I would, too. And I'll tell you something else. My line is of thinking when I'm in traffic is totally different than any of this, which is somebody's in a heck of a hurry. You go ahead. In fact, go ahead. And I'm going to slow down just a tad, not enough to cause an accident or make, piss off the guy in back of me or something. It's just, I want you away from me because when you eventually have an accident, I do not want to be hit with the chain reaction damage I'm going to have to go fix.
And I don't want you behind me. I don't want you on my tail for the next
20
miles. The only thing that does bug me is when you're waiting patiently in a line and then another line forms along the right and they all try to get in ahead of you. That always sort of bugs.
That can happen too.
But I've let myself.
Sometimes I've been in that right line and all of a sudden I realize, I wasn't paying attention. The lane's going to stop, and then I have to get in. So,
I will do the universal
sign for "Can I get in?"
There you go. A little hand out the window often works. And
something.
A
look
smile.
At them like you know. I mean, if you make eye contact with somebody, I'm going to guess that most motorists, unless there's an emergency, unless they're under stress, unless they're angry behind that wheel, and that's probably a lot of people in many cases.
Yeah.
But most people are probably going to let you in, especially if you acknowledge, I'm wrong, but I need a favor here.
I did realize something about this survey, and that is that it was taken in England. So they may have a different attitude about cars there than that we have here. They also don't like dirty cars. So if your car is dirty, you might have a trouble getting in.
Well, I just washed mine the other day.
Okay. Moving on. Most of us like to eat out, of course. But according to a new survey, eating out is kind of a love-hate thing. And this survey reveals what people really hate about dining out. And I guess well, let's start with number four. The number four thing that people who consider themselves foodies, you know, consider most annoying is prices. They feel that the price of food is in a restaurant is just too much. What do you think?
Well, yes, it is, but that's the way it is because people have to get paid. Somebody has to prepare it and buy it and all of that. So, you know, either you want to go out or you don't. The price is going to be. And you can choose the restaurant on the price. You don't have to go to the most expensive place all the time.
I have found that I'm often amazed at how inexpensively restaurants can prepare food. For example, I've noticed that in my local grocery store, I try to buy a steak and it's $18 for one little steak in the raw meat, you know, and I'm thinking I could go to a steakhouse and pay $22 and get the baked potato and have somebody serve it to me. I don't know how why meat in grocery stores is so expensive.
I don't either.
I don't cook. Chicken is
going
up too.
I'm not a cook. I'm really not a cook, so I would love to be out eating all the time.
You don't cook, do you?
I don't.
the number three thing that people object to the most in restaurants is crowds. 11% of people say that's the reason they don't go out is due to too many people in the restaurant.
And people should realize and use their heads. Right. The crowd thing, I understand because who wants to sit there and wait? So you make reservations if you know the place is busy.
The second thing that people object to the most is restaurant noise. Noisy restaurants, it's hard to talk, especially when you get a little older like you are. I mean, like you and I are.
I don't like noisy places when I go out anyway. If I want to go out and have a glass of wine with a friend and I want to talk to that friend or catch up, I'd rather go get a nice bottle of wine, come back to my place or your place and sit down and have it there because I can't hear you because everybody's talking. It has nothing to do with my hearing or my age. It has to do with the fact it's noisy.
Have you been to one of these places where they do communal seating? Where it's very expensive restaurants. They're putting you at a long table with a bunch of other people. Yeah, it's supposed to be this hip new thing, but I find it really annoying and it's impossible to hear the person.
Well, you know what? If you don't like that, then don't go to those restaurants. Everybody doesn't do that.
The number one gripe among all foodies is service. 30% say they do not like going to restaurants because of bad service. I don't have a lot of bad service, do you?
No, and the truth is because I am so talkative.
Oh, so the deal is you don't complain about slow service because you're there with people and you're chatting.
No, unless it's really extreme, in which case sometimes it's because it's, somebody came in with a crowd at the last minute, somebody's new at the restaurant and they, you know, they're working their way through on a busy night.
Yeah.
Maybe they should be training another day. I mean, there's a lot of things that come up that could make that, you know, there should be a reason for it. But to be honest with you, I haven't gotten a lot of bad service.
Me
and if
either.
I did, if I went someplace and it took forever to get my meal and I was late for something after, I wouldn't be there more than twice.
I seldom go any place where the service is really bad. Yeah. No. I seldom get a surly waiter or any of that kind of thing anymore. According to this survey also, 54% of people in Los Angeles say they have no problem with people using cell phones at the dinner table. Do you suppose it's just in Los Angeles? Do you think people...
It's not okay.
Well...
It is not okay.
Yeah.
If you're a doctor and you're waiting for somebody to be delivering a baby or there's an emergency procedure you have to be called about, that's one thing.
Right.
If there's something else, step out.
How about taking pictures of your food? What do you think about that?
Oh, my gosh. Get a life.
No, that's a thing. I mean,
I know.
I'm telling you, that's a big thing.
My mother did this years ago when she was younger and was traveling, and she said, "Oh, look, this is the picture of the fabulous steak I had in Spain." And I'm thinking, it's steak. Who cares?
Some very fancy restaurants will not allow people to take pictures of their foods. There's a place called the French Laundry up there in your neck of the woods. Yeah. They prohibit you from taking pictures of your food.
I get it.
Meanwhile, other chefs.
If I was a chef, I'd get it, yeah.
Well, other chefs really like it, and they consider it kind of a compliment, and it puts their food out there on social media. I saw recently a food critic talking about how great it is these days that we can look at Twitter and find out what some chef in New York is serving tonight. And you can see just what it looks like because three people have posted a picture of their creme brulee.
That really on your agenda, Bob?
What do you think about sriracha?
It's too hot. I have a bottle of that in my refrigerator dressing, and it's. I tried it once, and I tend to be a bit of a candy waste about this, or whatever you want to call it.
My wife puts sriracha on everything.
I like it spicy, but not too spicy.
And she will be in a restaurant, and she'll say, "Could you bring the sriracha sauce with you?" Now, in a way, is that at all insulting to the chef? That it, in the same way that people have to put ketchup on a steak. It sort of says what's under it isn't as important as the stuff that you're putting on top, the sauce. That's sriracha. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Yes. No. There was a place in St. Thomas and supposedly had the very, very best hamburgers you could get anywhere on the island. The one thing you weren't allowed to have, throw you out and he won't serve you, and that was ketchup. And he even had T-shirts that said ketchup kills. And the reason he did this was nothing against ketchup except for the fact that he said ketchup was originally made so that you could cover up the bad taste of a bad piece of meat, and I serve good meat.
I think that's right. I agree with him. I feel like there's nothing better than the flavor of a piece of steak well cooked and maybe a little salt. That's all you need.
That's it. All right. Yeah.
I pour the salt on my plate and then dip the bites into the salt pile.
Oh, you have this down to an art form.
I do.
That's impressive, Bob.
What do you think about this trend to put your beverage in a mason jar?
Hate it.
Hate it.
That's like asking my grandmother to can tomatoes in my wine glasses.
It's kind of a trend. It's a trend, right? No. It's just a goofy trend. I don't know. It's too cutesy. The mason jar thing is just too cute. That's all.
Like you ran out of glasses because you were too lazy to clean the one you own or the 10 you own, and you used the mason jar because you just grabbed it because it was empty. Mason jars are for canning peaches or something. I don't know.
Well, that's it for us today. Susan Sikora, thanks for doing this again. We're glad you were here.
It's always fun.
And that's it for now. For all your daily dose of news and entertainment for baby boomers and beyond, be sure to check us out regularly at olderandwiser.com. See you next time.